Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Good morning, and welcome to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration, which will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Hello, everybody, and welcome.
Welcome to Being Here, and today's show is about freedom.
So, good morning. Good afternoon and good evening, wherever you are.
Right on. I'm Shia.
You are almost Ariel.
I was almost Ariel.
We kind of trade. That's true freedom.
It could get kinky.
It could be, but I don't think it's a good idea.
No?
I'm Ariel.
Well, it's not a bad idea, but it's not a good idea on the show.
There you go.
Okay.
I'm Ariel. The lovely lower voice is Shia. And as he said at the beginning, our topic today is freedom.
Well, we often finish each other's sentences. So if we do, please include it rather than offend yourselves with it.
It seems to be our style. We like to start at the beginning of shows.
Talking about what it will take to have your life transform during the course of this show.
I mean, why not? Why wait? Let's have it happen now, today. It is absolutely possible for you, for us, for everybody who's on this show. And we want to let you know that the first thing, the first access way to being here is
through listening. But, you know, most of us think we listen, but in reality, we're listening to our internal conversation, seeing whether we agree with, disagree with, or already know better than what the speaker is saying. Or frequently we wait to let them finish saying what they're saying so we can say what we're saying, but we never put down what we're holding on to say so that we are an empty vessel to receive a communication. Now, what this does, aside from allows you to be much clearer about what people are saying, is it will pull you into the current moment of now, and it will allow you to access this moment and transformation or enlightenment is a byproduct of being in the current moment.
Now, Shia said something a moment ago. I'm not sure you caught it, but it was just so brilliant. Of course, that's always the case. You could just take any snippet from the show and listen to Shia, and it's brilliant. I'm always in awe. He was talking about listening. I'm backing up. He said, most people think they are listening, but right after the pause after think, even most people think it's just enough. You often think about things. You are intelligent. You are smart. Trust me, if you will, you do not have to think about this show whilst listening to it in order to get the value of this show. So let's engage right now and actually listen to what's being said. And I know we'll have some guests or call-ins on the show, so it won't only be to Shia and myself. It's the art of listening.
And the game is, or the name of this show is, freedom. And most of us truly want to be independent beings. We want to be free from the chattels of our upbringing and our cultural heritage. We want to be our own people. We want freedom, you know. The problem is it's very difficult to have freedom if you're living your life in opposition to anything, because whatever you oppose, then you're living your life not like that. So let's go over the three principles or ideas of instantaneous transformation first.
The first is anything you resist or oppose will persist. It'll grow, and it'll dominate your life.
That's right. And if you resist your upbringing, well, then you will be looking to have your behavior be different than that. And so you won't just be behaving your way. You'd be behaving not their way. And there is no freedom in that, none whatsoever. You are chained to what you resist. That's the first idea or principle of instantaneous transformation.
The second principle is really simple and extremely profound. You can only be how you are right now. You can only be who you are right now.
You can only have the body sensations, feelings, thoughts, and life experiences that you've had up until this moment.
So basically, choosing what is, or being how you are, or noticing how you are, is it's key. You can only be exactly as you are right now. In fact, you can only be listening to this show. How we know is
you are.
And you're hearing these words.
Now, you could be listening to this show live. You can listen to it through the archives. But in this moment that you're listening, this is where you can be, only here.
This is your moment.
That's right.
Okay, third idea is this.
Third idea. Anything that you see and allow to be exactly as it is. The word allow is key here. Rather than accepting it. See, most people think if they accept something, that's enough. But accepting really is denying first and then saying, okay, I'll accept it. I may not like it, but I'll accept it. Allowing it to be the way it is doesn't add energy for or against something. It is what it is, and that's what it is. It's not about trying to get it to be different. And speaking of that, we promise you that we will not try to fix you or change you in any way on this phone call.
See, that is the key.
Phone call, radio show, excuse me. I'm calling into the radio station. So.
But see, that really is the key to freedom, because most of us are trying to fix or change ourselves rather than noticing how we are.
Right. You're
and
absolutely right.
If you can bring awareness to, and again, awareness in our definition is a non-judgmental seeing of what is. If you can take an anthropological approach, not a psychological one where you're figuring it out and you're saying, this happened to me, therefore I do that. It's more about getting interested in what is, noticing what is, bringing your attention to yourself as if you're a foreign culture, a culture of one, not to see what's right or wrong or good or bad or better or worse, but simply to see what you see. And again, awareness is key to allowing things that mechanical ways of relating to your life to disappear.
But you see, awareness is non-judgmental. We are all experts at being judgmental. Have you ever noticed that? How you can judge yourself for almost anything. You know, the UPS man came by today and dropped off something, and I had a package to give him, and I forgot to give it to him. And I didn't even think of it in the moment because I was preoccupied. And afterwards, I could complain about myself to myself. Well, I should have, but I couldn't have because I didn't. And that was that. It wasn't supposed to happen today. Tomorrow's another day. You can beat on yourself for what you think you should do or should have done, but if you could have, you would have. Man, that takes a lot of guilt off our lives. You know?
A lot of stress. You know, we were talking last week.
Shame and blame.
Mm-hmm. We were talking on the show last week with Dr. Larry about anti-aging, about a transformational approach to aging. And if you pick on yourself, don't you realize at the end of the day you look haggard and you feel bad and you're kind of dragging your feet through life? So if you notice how you're being without judging what you see, the way is really open for you to have a miraculous life. And you know what? It happens in an instant. Transformation is instantaneous.
Transformation is not change. I mean, if you go to the dictionary and look up transformation, it's going to say change.
And if you look up change, it sometimes says transformation. But
transformation is a shifting in the essence of something. It's like when a molecule of water goes from water to ice, the moment the molecule of water hits 32 degrees Fahrenheit, it is ice. It hasn't changed its molecular structure, but it has transformed. Well, what's possible for human beings is nothing less than that.
You know, we, a couple of weeks ago, 10 days ago, we did a really incredible weekend workshop in New York City called The Art of Relating. And during this course over lunch, we gave an assignment. It was really fun where people went out and the assignment was to notice all the things that they complain about. And some of the groups simply noticed quietly, and other of the groups noticed and verbalized their complaints. And it was a complaint fest over lunch on purpose. And it's really interesting if you can begin to recognize how much of your life you complain about without complaining about your complaints, which you may do at first. But if you start to recognize how much you are simply resisting what is in this moment, whether it's the waitress not coming over soon enough, or whether your toast isn't toasted enough, or whether the room you're sitting in is too cold or too warm, or you've worked too long, or the kind of little niggly things that you pick on yourself about, things that you can't necessarily do anything about. If you start to notice how much of your life is lost in complaints, things will be freed up for you.
Well, only if you don't complain that you're complaining.
Yeah, that's a challenge. You know, if you really start looking at your complaints, you're going to notice how much you do it. And that is really the first knee-jerk thing you do, is complain about your complaints. So if you don't complain that you're complaining, then the way becomes clear. We were looking at other aspects to freedom also. And one of the biggest challenges is really early on we define ourselves in opposition to something, and usually that's our parents.
And some of us never outgrow that.
And so there's that whole don't tell me what to do factor. And those of you who procrastinate, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You say to yourself, I am going to make this phone call today, or I'm going to clean up my desk.
Well, you're moving way too fast.
Yeah?
Yeah. This don't tell me what to do factor, we need to talk about that.
Okay.
Because given most people don't realize that they have a conversation going in their thoughts where they resist whatever's being asked of them, even by themselves, and that's when you call it procrastination.
Correct. So you tell yourself you're going to do something, and then virtually you say, no, don't tell me what to do. And
see, freedom may be the ability to do, to respond to what your life requests of you in the moment that your life is requesting it, rather than resisting or putting off or disagreeing with that which you have to do.
So that's the basics where we're starting today. We're going to talk more about freedom after the break. So come on back, everyone.
And don't miss
being here.
Being here.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Everybody is thinking green these days, but green is not just an environmental state of mind, it's a healthier state of being. It's the food we eat, the air we breathe, and the structures we live and work in. It's not the dollars that we're spending, but how we spend those dollars. Are we consciously making informed decisions? Join host Connie McCullough as she explores healthier living by choice. Living Green, Healthier by Choice, airs live on the 7th Wave Network every Thursday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern and 2 p.m. Pacific Time. Tune in for the challenge of a lifetime, a challenge for greener, healthier living.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Canes weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Canes approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back, everyone. We're speaking about freedom, the freedom to be yourself, just having freedom in your life.
But let's stop everything for a moment and realize that there are about 6 billion people on the planet, and each one of us are individuals. So about being special, you are special. You're unique already. There's nothing you have to do or prove to be yourself. Now, the thing is this, most of us have defined ourselves in opposition to something. We think we're special if we're different than something else. So maybe we can be special being uniquely ourselves, where we don't have to be in opposition to something to be free, to have free choice.
Great.
Speaking of free choice.
Yes, sir.
I hear we have a caller on the phone.
Gracie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Excellent. Really excellent.
Cool.
I mean, you know, if I wanted to, I could look and find something that isn't my preference that I could disagree with.
But
for the most part, I would say life is excellent the way it is.
Cool. Well, something you guys were just talking about kind of struck a chord when you were speaking about parents and being in opposition to your parents.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Well, I think I definitely have that going on with my dad, who I don't know very well. Him and my mom broke up when I was about 2 years old. And since then, we talk every couple years, maybe for a little bit. But I think I noticed that I'm really hard on myself when it comes to career stuff.
Well, and you know something, Gracie?
When
I'm sorry I have to interrupt you, but I do, because I was actually listening to what you just said. I think you probably have more going on with your mom than your dad.
Really?
Really.
Okay.
Because she was the person who raised you.
Right.
She was the person who said, no, you can't have that candy.
Right.
You know, she was the one that was there to give you a model to form your life around. And so in order to find your independence, you would indeed disagree more with her than with him. Now, I'm not saying you don't have stuff going on with him.
Right.
Well, you think he should have been there for you.
Right.
And, of course, you must have internalized her opinions about him, because it doesn't matter what your mom had to say about your father. She obviously wasn't as fond of him as...
She wasn't as fond of him when he left as she was when she first met him. How's that?
Correct.
Right.
So are you assigning being hard on yourself to him how he relates to himself?
Or no, more like I want to do really well to kind of prove that I can do well, even though he had nothing to do with it, kind of thing.
Well, he had everything to do with it in that you're 50% his genetics.
Right.
And I don't think you can get away from that.
Well, right. You know, it's interesting. Whatever excuse we give ourselves to go for a person's approval or to prove something to ourselves.
Or disapproval, you see.
Because there are lots of people who will do things to prove that they're messed up so that they can get the attention of one parent or another. We've met lots and lots of people like that lately.
Right.
Of course, we've always met
them. We've met lots and lots of people lately, and that's one of the things that people do, you see, is live their life in opposition to their parents rather than just live their life.
But even as you're talking about it, Gracie, if you're doing things for approval, then there's also an additional thing to each action you're taking that takes a lot of extra energy from you and is absolutely unnecessary for your success. And that is comparison. So you're not just taking an action, you're comparing it to how somebody else might do it. You're comparing the outcome to what you think it should be or what you wish it would be,
right.
And where you think you should be by now.
Yep. Yeah.
And you're also comparing it to how you think your father or your mother will like it or not like it.
Yeah.
Well, just so you know, when I grew up and when I was a younger person and prior to this transformational lifestyle that Shai and I are now experiencing, I was very close to my father. And my life was built around going for his approval. So whether he's around a lot or whether he's not around a lot, as kids, we put together strategies for success that are mechanical in nature that follow us through life until you bring awareness to it. And the moment you notice it, if you don't judge it, it completes itself.
Okay.
But one of the things you have, I'm getting this image, and maybe it's because Shai and I are about to get our boat back, and we're going to go out on the water. We recently took a boat safety course, and in the boat safety course, we were reminded of right of way, like which direction a boat comes from is the right of way, and that type of thing. And it doesn't matter which boat has the right of way when you come upon something like a super tanker. Because even if you have the right of way and you were to get in their way and they would throw their engines fully into reverse, it would still take at least a mile for them to stop their forward momentum. So certain ways of relating to your life, like wondering about whether or not you could get your father's approval, is so well in set now that even if you stopped it today,
you'd still have forward momentum in that direction, so the behavior would continue. But if you see it and don't judge it, eventually it will lose its power over your life.
Okay. I'll try that.
Well, there's nothing to do. Gracie, right. There's nothing to do. It's about just noticing, huh, look at that. I went for their approval. Or, huh, look at that. We come from there were different schools of enlightenment over the eons of time. And our school of enlightenment is the slack jaw school of enlightenment, where you notice something, your jaw drops, you go, huh, I did that. And then you move on, rather than berating yourself or complimenting yourself for having seen it. See, either way, if you give it positive energy or negative energy, it keeps the behavior around. If you just see it, that's enough for it to complete itself.
You know, and that's a really challenging reality or a challenging concept to get at first. Most of us are so used to or habituated to looking for progress. Am I making progress?
Or
little
for
steps.
Something to do. You see, most people want to do something.
Right.
And it's not about doing, it's about being. It's about being present and being aware of how you're interacting with your life and your environment. And that's all it takes for old mechanical behaviors to dissolve if you want to. Mm. But if you have an agenda where you're proving that you're damaged goods and it's because your daddy left,
right.
Well, you don't stand a chance, my dear.
Right, right. Okay. cool. So it's more just about noticing that I do that. I put that in my head, like, I'm going to be this great success so I can prove to him.
Now
that I think about it, it's kind of funny.
It is kind of funny. It's very funny. We were at a party once in California, a person we knew was getting, it was a party to celebrate their getting their master's in psychology.
Mm.
And so we went up to this person and we congratulated them. And it was this woman, and she said to us, and I mean this now, she said, "Now I'm going to go get my doctorate. Then my father will listen to me." So this person's life was based in trying to get the approval of somebody who didn't approve of them, of themselves, no less somebody else.
Right.
It's interesting. We saw once on the Academy Awards, there was a individual who won an Academy Award for Best Actor, Actress, for Supporting Role. And I remember listening to an interview with this individual, and all they talked about was, "See, I showed my father." And I thought, wow, there was no win in that success.
No satisfaction.
Yeah.
See, satisfaction comes out of doing something purely for the doing of it, not for the outcome. If you're there while you're doing it, it's satisfying. If you are trying to prove your independence from someone, Gracie,
yep,
you are not independent at all, because even by the very comparison, you are basing your freedom in opposition to that person.
And if you're going for your father, in this case, your father's approval, or so that he'll notice what you've done, or to show him something, inherent in that whole behavior pattern is an embedded complaint. It's
right.
A little like computer code. Sometimes we go and we consult over at Tag Online, our online web company, who are really great, by the way. And sometimes we ask them to fix something, as in we want something updated, and we watch them as they write the code. And if it wants to appear bold, there are certain symbols that they put in on either side of the sentence to have the sentence appear in bold or in a different color or a different size. So when you're talking in this computer program, there's an embedded complaint against your father and against yourself and against your relationship if all you're doing is going for that person's approval.
Yeah.
And awareness is an incredible key to freedom. And again, I can't say it enough, awareness is a non-judgmental seeing of what is. And I highly recommend that you approach it with a sense of humor.
Yeah.
I remember when Shai and I had our first date, we were together, and Shai said, "Wow, you know, you're so different. I feel so different with you. You could be, you're the one for me in this lifetime." And I said, "Okay," which then later I kind of freaked that I just said okay. But I remember at the time thinking, but wait, I haven't even done anything special. I could do more than this, because I was so addicted to thinking that I had to do something additional to be special.
Hmm.
And we encourage you, Gracie, to just keep allowing yourself the freedom to be yourself, because it is absolutely more than enough.
Thank
okay?
you. Yes.
You're so welcome. Thank you very much
for calling in today. Thanks for giving us your time.
Thank you, guys.
We really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Hey, everybody, just a reminder that we are going to be coming back after the break. Of course, you know that. So we are encouraging you to come on back and don't miss
Being Here.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Canes weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Canes approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
Once upon a time, there lived three energy hogs. Now, an energy hog is what you have when humans waste energy. One day, the three energy hogs set out to find themselves a cottage.
Let's look for leaky windows,
said the first energy hog, for he knew that would waste energy.
Let's look for leaky doors,
said the second.
Let's look for a swing set,
said the third, for he had more blubber than brains. So they set off down the road. Presently, they came upon a tiny cottage where dwelled a clever girl named Dreadylocks.
I hope it has leaky windows,
cried the first energy hog.
I hope it has leaky doors,
cried the second.
I hope it has a bathroom,
cried the third, for only his brains were smaller than his bladder. But Dreadylocks liked playing cool games at energyhog.org. And from energyhog.org, she learned how to use energy wisely. So the three energy hogs were forced to look elsewhere to waste energy and had to use the disgusting restroom at the gas station down the road. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org or waste not, hog not.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back, everyone.
Welcome back to Being Here. Today we're talking about freedom, something that everybody says they want and complain that they don't have.
I wanted to let everybody know who's in the New York area, just a reminder that we are not doing a Monday Night Alive this upcoming Monday. We are back on Monday, July 14th, and we're doing a special evening on living a passionate life, and you are invited. If you're not in the New York area and you can't make it, you know, you can go right up to our website, transformationmadeeasy.com, and we have podcasts every week. We have article of the month. We have a link to a blog about transformational moments by people just like yourself, and you are welcome to get in on the act and blog away and put in your comments. So you are invited. Don't forget, our website is transformationmadeeasy.com. All righty, on with freedom.
On with freedom. We've got another caller who's free to speak to us now.
Joe?
Hello.
Hey, hi. Joe.
Hi, it's great to hear you guys, and, you know, one of the things I've been noticing lately is that my sense of freedom feels like a moment-to-moment thing. It's like,
well,
sometimes I can
your
be...
Your freedom is a moment-to-moment thing.
Cool.
See, it is absolutely a moment-to-moment thing. When you choose to have what's showing up in your life in this moment, you are free.
The moment you resist something, you're stuck in that moment of time. You're just stuck.
Right.
Instant prison.
Right.
Go to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I noticed that I don't know just if I'm right about this being really a cause or a relationship, but I can see a lot of times when I'm suppressing myself, or suppressing what I really want to say, or I really want to express myself, and then I feel really bad. And that could be a momentary thing, or it could last a while. For instance,
yes.
When I teach yoga.
Okay.
And
oh, this is Yoga Joe.
That's right.
Hi, Yoga Joe.
Hi there, Yoga Joe.
Hello. So, for instance, today I was teaching a class, and I found myself suppressing many things that I wanted to say, and I believe that it is relative to some of the people in the class who were struggling or resisting what was going on. And afterwards, I kind of felt kind of down after the class. And I thought, wow, I missed an opportunity there to really be myself, to be more courageous. And so I'm, you know, here I'm left feeling less than myself.
Well, on the surface, what you're saying is fine, but basically you're beating up on yourself for being the way you were is something that's going to tie you in a knot more than being suppressed during the class. Because it's obvious you could have only said exactly what you said in the class because that's what you said and nothing more. That's the second principle.
Right. But now, you know, you may be accurate that there are people in your class that didn't want to hear what you had to say. There might have been somebody in their class who was fighting with their women or men?
Women.
Yes. So there might have been somebody who was fighting with her husband that day.
Or has father issues or just having a bad out-of-sync day.
And you just happen to remind them of that?
The other thing is, I don't know that looking and seeing internally whether or not you said things or not is a good way to, I hate to use the word judge, but judge how well you did in the class. There are plenty of nights where Shai and I are leading a Monday Night Alive, and it's, you know, some nights are more challenging than others. It's just a fact. But that doesn't mean that that translates into somebody else's experience. Every time I find that I have something that's a little more challenging for me to meet, every time we have people come up and say, wow, was this incredible. This was just so refreshing. It was one of the best evenings. So perhaps by your experiencing being challenged without judging yourself for that, you're relieving somebody else of their own challenge.
Uh-huh. That's so interesting, yeah. Because people were obviously happy about the class when it was over. You know, everybody was bright and shiny and smiling and chatting, and so it's quite possible that they had a great experience, even
yes,
if it wasn't.
Yes, but you judged you.
Right.
Hey, you know, I can really empathize, Joe. I mean, I've been there. You know, I've been leading workshops basically for the last 35 years, and Monday Night Alive, every Monday night we do a workshop, and sometimes there are people there who do not want to hear what I have to say. And I can either think that I'm off, or I can just keep going.
Or we can fight with ourselves and our thoughts, or just notice, when I speak to this person, it doesn't want to come out of my mouth the way I would normally if it was in a flow.
Yeah, well, it's like this. You know, sometimes somebody will ask us what we do. They'll ask us about instantaneous transformation. And what comes out of our mouths are pearls, you know, just gems of the right thing that this person needs to hear. And other times, same question, what do you do? And we're tongue-tied. And whatever we say falls flat. So if you have one person there who is lost in their thoughts and not wanting to hear what you say because they're fighting, say, with their husband or partner, then suddenly you can't say it right. Now, that you can't say it right doesn't mean you're not good at what you do. It just means that in that moment, you are not able to express yourself as clearly, as fully as you'd like to.
Now, here's the key that'll keep you from being somebody's victim.
Okay.
This feeling of not being able to do it well enough will intensify if you resist the fact that you are not articulating everything you would like to articulate. Or if you identify this person on the left is struggling and you resist the fact that they are struggling, what you resist persists, grows stronger, and follows you after you leave the class.
Yeah,
and if you recognize they can only be struggling when they're struggling, you could only be struggling when you're struggling, and that's the second principle. And if you notice it without judging it, it completes itself, and you don't have to carry them around for the rest of the day.
Cool. That's really great. 'Cause that's true. That's what I've been doing.
Well, good. Then I really think it's time that you start being kind to yourself.
Don't go faster than that. That's the place to stop. Stop being kind to yourself. When something doesn't go the way you think it ought to, you are very hard on yourself. Have you noticed that, young man?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
I was very taken by your conclusion when you started your question. Your conclusion was that you missed an opportunity and you didn't go forward with courage.
Uh-huh.
Wow,
right.
That's pretty strong, don't you think?
The other thing is, could you have done it differently than you did?
Nope.
Really?
Not true.
I mean, really, in reality, you could have only done it the way you did it.
Yeah.
So complaining to yourself about it isn't going to help anything. Look, I know somebody who recently made a mistake. They bought something that they didn't need, and it was quite costly. They could have gotten it almost anywhere for less money. They thought they got a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they beat up on themselves for that, they will never be appropriate because they'll be constantly working on what happened once as though it's a current thing.
And then they won't be where they are.
So they won't be appropriate to the next moment of their lives, nor the next, and they'll start making mistakes at work, and they'll do all these things by beating on themselves for how they did this one thing. You know, you got to forgive yourself your past. And the word forgive means to give up the right to punish yourself or anyone else. It's to give up this desire to punish yourself for doing something that you don't approve of.
Right.
And
Yogi
Joe, we know you. And I have to tell you, lack of courage is not something I would ever put under the file heading Yoga Joe. So I think you can just kind of strike that one from your vocabulary and not apply that to yourself. It has to be an old label that you put on yourself and has absolutely nothing to do with
reality or the truth.
Okay?
Okay. I like that.
Thank you so much for calling in today. We really appreciated your question and having you with us.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you so much. And this is especially helpful because I'm leaving for Florida in a couple of days to teach a big workshop down there. So,
excellent. So you can have plenty of time to practice.
Enjoy.
That's right.
All right. Have a great time. And you can tell us if you come on the 14th of July to the Living a Passionate Life evening, then you can tell us all about it.
We got to go right now. Thanks for being here, Joe.
You're welcome. Thank
come on
you
back,
so
everyone.
Much.
Just
all right.
Be in here.
Okay.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
I know, being a college freshman is supposed to be tough, but let me tell you about my schedule this semester. All 18 credits. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I have American Lit at 8:05 a.m., and then I only have 15 minutes to get to my 9:15 Ethics and Value Theory class all the way across campus, then in the afternoon, Calculus 1. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I have two lectures that go through lunch, Sociology of Families, then Intro to Microbiology, pre-med. And finally, I have a double lab that ends around 9 p.m. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you.
If a kid will do whatever it takes to get through college, what will you do to send her there? Please support the United Negro College Fund and call 1-800-332-UNCF. Because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Canes weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Canes approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back to Being Here. We're talking about freedom today. Boy, it was really interesting talking with Joe.
Yes.
Because I was...
What about talking with Joe is so interesting?
Well, I was surprised to hear him label himself as non-courageous. That's so outside of my reality when thinking of that individual.
Well, it's interesting. You're absolutely right, because when we first met him, we met him about 5 years ago, and he came to a Monday night Alive that we were doing in New York City, and it was in just before Christmas, and he wanted to come with us to Costa Rica for the workshops we do in Costa Rica in January.
And he made it happen. He had it all happen seamlessly, and he jumped into something because he was enough in touch with himself,
right,
and his integrity and his creativity and intuition and his ability to go for things. So this label that he had given himself is very, very old.
Well, you know, when you label yourself, you limit yourself to that label. You know, in quantum physics, there's this idea that an electron can
or a particle
can exist simultaneously in all places in the universe until it is measured, and then from that moment forward, it can only be found where it was measured. It can only be that. And it's the same thing with human beings. We have infinite possibilities for our lives until we label ourselves.
So if you label yourself as lacking courage, or you label yourself as only a woman, man, American, German, South Korean, if you label yourself as a religion, as a type, as an age, you narrow your possibilities down so that you are no longer free to experience the magic and the mystery of being here. I remember back in the early 90s, we did a course, and there was a woman who came, and she did a video of it.
Ah, I remember that.
And we were speaking to a gentleman there, Tony, and we were talking to him because at that point he labeled himself as disabled because he has some disabilities, hearing loss, spastic paralysis in an arm, just to name a couple things. But he defined himself as being disabled. So
he would ignore all of his attributes and focus on those things that proved him right about his disability.
And he held himself as special through these labels.
Well, you know, if you say or label yourself as coming from a dysfunctional family, then you'll be looking for all the reasons why you're dysfunctional.
Like, you're walking around with that bushel basket.
Right,
and you're
gathering evidence for that, and you'll ignore all of the things that you do well.
And I remember we said to Tony at the time, if what you need to do is give up being special, and then you'll be free. And it's really neat to see Tony now when he's working. He actually did some work in our home. We have the most gorgeous kitchen cabinets that he made. And he was doing some work in our kitchen a few weeks ago, and it was seamless. It was like almost not having a person working in the house.
Well, you know what was so wild about that? I thought about it this morning when
really?
When I was putting things away, you know, I was putting things in those cabinets that he had refurbished the drawers in it. And it was like it used to be that I'd have to worry about whether or not I was going to hit the door with a pull-out drawer. And now it just effortless. It makes my life so much easier, and it's from his realizing that his handicaps are only something he's labeled himself with. And yes, he still has spastic paralysis in his right hand and leg. And yes, he still has hearing loss, severe hearing loss, and uses hearing aids. But he is not a disabled person. Aside from that, he's got a gorgeous French wife these days who's been his wife for quite a while now, but he's got a great life.
But it was really,
and he has a spastic paralysis in his hand, and he's got hearing loss, but he is well in himself.
It's lovely to see the being coming forward rather than the story about who I am that I want you all to know.
You could live the story of your life. Actually, the story of your life can live you, or you can have a life. We once were doing a work, but she had been working in France. And the first thing she said was her name, followed by, and I'm 23 years old, and I have $6 million, and people are only interested in me for my money. Well, she brought that story in, and sure enough, people got very interested in her for her money.
She created difficulty. She created a chained to that money reality.
No freedom. Here, this person had a lot of money and absolutely no freedom, because in the resistance to her life story, she presented it and corrupted the current moment of now with her past.
And
you can either corrupt your moment of now with your story of the past, thereby having absolutely no freedom.
Freedom happens when you are being here, and being in the moment is really the access way to freedom in all aspects of your life.
We suggest, if you can, to support your experience of being in the moment, to, if you're in the New York area, come to our Monday Night Alive courses. The next one is on July 14th. And we're doing a creativity and intuition course on August 8th, 9th, and 10th, also in New York City. And it's worth it to travel to the Big Apple to discover your greatness.
By the way, if you're not coming to the area, you can always listen to our podcasts. All you have to do is go up to transformationalmoments.com. We have podcasts of the week. You can go back to the archives of this show. Been hearing a lot from people lately that they've been going and looking at the list of different topics. They've been downloading the topics of their choice. We've been hearing people have been listening to the show on their commute to work by putting it on their iPod or putting it on a CD and popping it in their CD player in their car. And that is just so wonderful. What a great way to start the day. And we suggest, not only do you listen to it, but share the show. We've been hearing that we are one of the best attended or listened to shows on the all of this whole network. And so we really appreciate that you all have been making that a reality, and we encourage you to keep sharing it with folks.
Well, what happens when you share transformation is you discover that transformation isn't just Ariel and Shia's. It's yours. And the more you own it, the more you live it. And, transformation's funny. It's not really understandable. And it's an experience that you have when you share it.
I have to tell you that the community of people around me who are interested in transformation really pull me into the moment again and again, because I can't afford to indulge myself in complaints. It gives me the freedom to be myself day in, day out, and as Joe said, from moment to moment.
That's the choice, in each moment.
So thank you all for being here today.
We're looking, joining us.
Yeah, we're looking forward to speaking to you again next week, so come on back.
And don't miss being here.
We hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another exciting and empowering episode of Being Here.